Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Many of you have heard me talk this summer about my favorite novel of the summer, which was called All the Light You Cannot See. At the end of this novel, a young girl who is blind finds herself in her uncle's house in a little town on the coast of France. She and her uncle have managed to survive the Nazi occupation. She would bring secret messages to the bakery every morning, hidden in a loaf of bread. But her uncle is found out just as the war is ending, and as the Allies are bombing the city, he is taken prisoner and she's left alone in the house. She goes down to the pantry where there are only two cans left. She takes the two cans and feels her way up to the attic where she hides, knowing that the Nazi troops will probably be coming through to steal and plunder, and perhaps to search for her. She's starving, so she opens one of the cans, not knowing what's inside, and it turns out to be green beans. She eats all of them, and then waits. An older Nazi officer bangs the door down and comes in, demolishing things and searching for money, and particularly he believes that there is a diamond in her house. So he's tearing things apart, and she's hearing this from the attic. Of course, being blind, her hearing is so acute. And she knows he's going to find her. Meanwhile, a young Nazi soldier has watched her go to the bakery every morning. When he sees the officer go into the house, something changes inside of him, and he goes in after, not to help the officer, but to protect this girl. They end up fighting, those two Nazis, and the young man kills the officer. Knowing that he has just destroyed his own life, too, he finds the young girl up in the attic and sits with her. The bombs continue to fall, and the young man, who is German, but he grew up right on the border of Germany and France and speaks fluent French, and so they talk to each other, and she thanks him, and she says she has one more can of food left, and she wants to share it with him. They open the can, and it turns out that it's peaches. Canned peaches with sweet syrup. They pass the can back and forth between the two of them, using their fingers to take the peaches, and it's so delicious. And for that moment, they are truly together, tasting the sugar running down their throats, being thankful just to be alive. Today's gospel is a continuation of many chapters in the Gospel of John. Jesus has multiplied the loaves and the fishes. All these people are crowding around him and following him everywhere he goes. He searches for time to be alone and to pray. He crosses the whole sea, trying to get some time away, and finds himself in Capernaum, where he is surrounded by crowds, and even the Jews have come to see him. And Jesus is trying to tell these people who he really is, but they have a hard time understanding him. And he says over and over again this phrase, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And the bread which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. But they don't understand. They say, we know his parents. This is ridiculous. What's he talking about? How can he say he's bread? And what is he talking about? Eating flesh. Eating flesh. Think about it, guys, for a minute. If we just heard it for the first time, wouldn't you think that sounded strange? The Romans, the pagans, used to think that early Christians were cannibals, that we ate flesh and drank blood. Why would Jesus say that? What does that mean, to eat his flesh and drink his blood? It is a truth about the very presence of God. There is a book that I've been reading very, very slowly by a quantum physicist called The Order of Time. His name is Carlo Rovelli. He talks about the fact that time itself does not exist. It doesn't exist. Did you know that time goes a little bit slower in Jacksonville than it does in Denver? I mean, it's a fraction of a second. But time actually goes slower the closer you move to the Earth's core. And the higher up you get in altitude, the faster it goes. Because there really is no time. What there actually is, the real reality, is there is interaction between things. That's all we really know, is how to measure the interaction between things. All there is right now. And all of us are tempted and drawn to live in the past. We want to live the way things used to be. Or we wish maybe our childhoods had been different. Or we wish we hadn't made that mistake back then. Or some of us live in the future, wishing our families would be perfect and we'd all sit along around the table and get along beautifully. Or wishing that we had the better career, or that we had made a different choice and found ourselves in a different place in life. But whenever we do these things, the scripture calls it idolatry, because we're not living with God. God does not live in the past or the present. They aren't real. The only place where you can find God is right now. That's why God's name is I Am, not I was or I will be. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You cannot find God by worrying about the past, and you cannot find God by anticipating the future. The only time you can find God is right now, in this very real moment. In the movie A Beautiful Mind, which is about the famous economist John Nash, who was a schizophrenic, he is sitting on his bed, and his wife is about to commit him to the hospital, maybe for the rest of his life, because he cannot differentiate between what is real and what is not real. He sees people that aren't there. And he says to his wife, please don't send me there. I'll never come back. She kneels in front of his bed and she says, do you want to know what is real? She takes her hand and puts it on his face, touching him, and says, this is real. She takes his hand and puts it on her beating heart and says, this is real. All that there is right now. What we can touch, what we can taste, what we can see, and what we can hear. When the ancient Christians designed this beautiful worship that we do still today, they did everything they could to try to get you to wake up to the present moment. Look at these beautiful windows. You're supposed to look at them and see them. Listen to this music. You're supposed to hear it right now. It's supposed to bring you out of your worries and reveries into the present moment. And when you reach out for that bread and you put it in your mouth, God wants you to taste the presence of God, because it is right here with us now. God is real. God wants you to touch and taste and smell and hear. Belief is not some esoteric reason that we need to comprehend or some pill that we swallow. It is an awareness that happens right now. When my son Jacob was 2, he used to do the most beautiful thing. He would hold out his arms and he would say, "I want to hold you. I want to hold you," which always melted my heart. I think that's what God is trying to say in the Eucharist. I want to hold you. I want to come inside of you, and I want you to come inside of me. I want you to taste me and touch me and be present with me. Be awake. My name is I Am. Amen.